We still have quite a bit of sorghum Sudan out in the field that has yet to be baled. And if you look at some of those windrows, there is some mold. So what does this mean for the feed quality? Hi there, this is Jeannie Falk-Jones. I'm the K-State Multi-County Agronomist for Cheyenne, Sherman, and Wallace Counties. I deliver unbiased, research-based information to you for you to apply it on your farm. Now, the mold in the windrows is a result of repeated rainfall and snow and thick windrows that are not drying out quickly. In some cases, the mold is near the outer edges of the windrow, while in other cases, it's being found in the center. Now, just because there's mold in the windrow, that does not mean that there's a problem with this feed. Very moldy feed may not contain any detectable amounts of known mycotoxins, while good-looking feed may contain very high concentrations. We often think of mycotoxins like aflatoxin occurring in the grain. This is because they result from injured kernels and are feeding on the sugars and the carbohydrates in those corn kernels. In addition, warm, humid conditions fuel that fungal growth. Even though they are much more common in grain, mycotoxins can still occur, although not real often, in forages. So can you test for mycotoxins? Yes, there are a few labs that can screen for the most common mycotoxins. One such lab is at the Vet School at Iowa State University. The first question that you're probably wondering is, what is the cost? That was my first question. Well, I've looked through the schedule of charges, but cannot find a package that tests for the mycotoxins that are commonly found in forages. So I'm going to call this morning and get a better idea of the cost for testing for these mycotoxins. So what if you're not ready to do the testing? What can you expect from this feed? The dust that comes off from these highly moldy forages could irritate young or stressed animals and reduce their intake. Grinding and mixing with non-moldy hay would be a good way to utilize this forage. If you cannot grind this feed, consider palatability challenges from both the mold and the forage maturity, and think about how much will realistically be consumed. Grazing windrows in the field and eliminating the baling and moving cost, and the rejected feed is then left on the field. If feeding hay free choice, expect cattle to bunk sort some of this hay and reject a portion of the feed. In addition, nutrient value of the hay can change when it's rained on. Up to a 20% loss of digestible soluble nutrients such as the carbohydrates, B vitamins, and potassium can occur. Nutrient detergent fiber, or NDF, increases considerably in rained-on hay, and intake would be expected to decrease accordingly. Nitrogen content and the resulting crude protein is minimally impacted by the leaching. Now, if the hay heats in the bale, the heating can damage the digestibility of that protein. Now, if the hay is baled a little bit wet, substantial spoilage and further loss of nutrients may result from excessive heating and can allow for further mold growth. As a quick summary, just because there's mold in the hay, that does not mean that there's mycotoxin problems with the hay. Dust from the mold can reduce intake or irritate young animals or stressed animals. Cattle may also sort through the moldy hay if it's not ground. You can test for mycotoxins that can result from that fungal growth. Feed value testing may also be valuable for this hay, especially the hay that's been rained on, because of digestible nutrients that can change. If you have any questions, please give me, Jeannie Falk-Jones, a call at the K-State Extension offices in St. Francis, Goodland, or Sharon Springs, or you can get a hold of me on the K-State Experiment Station in Colby.